This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Everybody listening. Before I do move on, I do want to thank all of you who have reached out personally as well as publicly. Appreciating the effort, it does mean a lot. Is encouraging. It helps us continue flowing and going. It gives us an idea of what it is that we're doing right, and of course, what it is that we need to be doing differently. Feel free to please continue to do that. Reach out in any way possible, publicly, privately, and share your feedback with us. And whatever it is that you find beneficial, feel free to share with others. Okay. That done and said, moving right along, today what we're going to be talking about is Surah At-Tur, a beautiful surah, as is every other surah, but something about this particular surah for me personally has always stood out for, again, the intimacy that is communicated between Allah, from Allah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How this shows Allah's imminence, His closeness to the human being, to human pain in particular. The way it demonstrates itself here, the way it demonstrates in this particular surah, it's very unique. It's something that you will not be able to find in many other places. It's like reaching out, consoling, putting your arm around the other person, telling them it's okay, and that you're there for them. That's as close as an analogy as I can possibly come up with as to how this surah reaches out to you. What I want to do is I want to actually go over the entire surah. It's surah number 52. So the reason I want to, it's not a very long surah. It's one of the shorter ones. Of course, it's not as short as the surahs in the last juz, the last sipara, but it's still only a couple of rukus, two or three rukus. So it won't take us long. It's for those of you who were used to Ramadan nights, this may be reminiscent of that. We used to cover the entire Quran cover to cover there, so we moved pretty fast and went into a reasonable explanation, not too much. But the background is, again, the similar circumstances to what we have been speaking about, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having to face the abuse, the criticism of the Quraysh in the first few years in Mecca. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was confronted with a lot of calumny. He was confronted with a lot of character assassination, as we have spoken about. And he felt it. The Quran reassures him, but the Quraysh keep coming back with more criticism as well. He's not the only one suffering. What adds to the pain of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that the people who accept him also suffer, that they are tortured, not just verbally, but physically as well. The physical assaults on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are also there. They're of course restricted because of his status in the Quraysh, because of the protection of Abu Talib. Nevertheless, he was physically assaulted as well, and we will talk about that. The assaults against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are about his character, about his trustworthiness, about his motivation. His intent is questioned. You're doing this for money. You're doing this for power. Who is it that you want to marry? We'll get you married to her. Who is it that, whatever you want, we don't make kings, we'll make you king. Everything was suspected. And it tells us more about the people that the Quraysh were than it tells us about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, They're coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and saying, what do you want? You want power? We'll make you king. We don't make kings, but we'll make you king. And imagine what can be done with that power. So it isn't a small offer. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is looking to do good. Compromising on a part of the message and accepting power allows you to do a considerable amount of good, right? So lesson in history, political situation, you make compromises, you will have to suffer. I don't want to get into that just yet. The conversation is going to get hijacked. You already hear a lot of political commentary as it is. I don't want to jump the bandwagon. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam refuses that offer. He's also offered money. They literally give him a blank check. How much money do you possibly want? We'll give it to you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is told, who do you want to marry? You pick a girl, she's yours. It's important to note that for the people of Quraysh, the more intelligent of them, there is this recognition that this practice of religiosity and spirituality is rooted in the pursuit of power, the pursuit of pleasure, the pursuit of wealth. And so they plainly put these offers out on the table for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Take it, let the rest go. For them, it is inconceivable, unimaginable that there can be a pursuit of spirituality, of religiosity, which is above and beyond these things, which is more than these things, which is actually based in a commitment to Allah, which is actually based in getting people what they deserve, which is actually for truth and justice. They can't wrap their heads around it. Their practice of spirituality and religiosity is about power. It is about wealth. It is about pleasure. And as they make this offer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're insulting him by saying, this is what you're after. And these insults are, they're compounded by all the other accusations that are more blatant, more blunt. These insults, what adds salt to the wounds of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's a gross understatement. It was so much more painful for him. To see the person who has said labaik to your call and to see them physically tortured in front of your very eyes. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu and everything that he was subjected to, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was witnessing that. Yasir and Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who were tortured in the most gruesome ways by Abu Jahl, that was right in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He could see that. All the slaves who accepted Islam and what they were subjected to, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that. It was in front of him to accept all of these offers and to say, okay, you win. Give me the power. I'll do with the power whatever I can for that justice, for that truth, for these people. For Islam, for the Riyasat-e-Madina, I can't help myself. He was offered compromises. And he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, did not accept them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to reassure him. The reassurance that comes in this particular surah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Wat-Tur, by the mountain of Tur. The mountain of Tur representing the experience of Musa alayhi salam. The experience of Musa alayhi salam bears witness to the experience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is a lineage, it is a prophetic lineage. It is a continuity. Wa kitabim masthur, and a written book. The book that Musa alayhi salam was given, the Torah, the Ten Commandments particularly, they were in inscribed form, in written form. Fi raqim manshur, on an outstretched parchment. Wal baytil ma'amur, by the frequently visited house. And it is said that these the first three ayat relate to Musa alayhi salam. His struggle was by no means easy. He didn't get the results that he was looking for. Definitely not immediately. Definitely not always. He experienced revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reassuring Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is giving him examples of his forerunners, those who came before him. Musa alayhi salam being the most immediate example. Wal bayt al ma'mur, the frequently visited home. And it is important to this bayt al ma'mur is said to be a replica, if you will, of Kaaba. Replica is not the right word, but something analogous to the Kaaba in the heavens, in the seventh heaven, or in one of the heavens, and angels circumambulate it all the time. It is always filled. It is always crowded. It is always crowded. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being given a reminder that this bayt of Allah, the baytullah, the Kaaba, the one built by Ibrahim alayhi salam in Mecca, that is not ma'mur, that is not frequently visited, or that's not filled with people the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would like. For one thing, the people who are there, they're not there for tawheed. They're not there for what Allah, what Ibrahim alayhi salam stood for, what Allah wants from these people. He would want that this house is occupied, that the people of the world are crowding in to celebrate tawheed, to commemorate tawheed, and taking that message back with them. And the whole world is oriented around this message of justice and true relationships. Rasulullah would not want anything more. He's being reminded that, Ya Rasulullah, if Allah wanted that, could have happened. He already has that. He already has that. Angels are doing it. And in a sense, this is destiny for this house as well on earth. But it is so much more beautiful in its fulfillment, because it will involve human effort, human volition, freely chosen struggles and sacrifices, which will result in the population of this house, of this Kaaba, and the people around it. We commemorate Hajj every year. We are pained, we are hurt when, because of the pandemic, there are not enough people in and around the Kaaba the past 2 years. It wasn't a pleasant sight. What happened to all the pilgrims? Where did they go? Why not? Happened after such a long time. We're used to that sight of a crowd of people, like an ocean of people. Imagine the pain of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he doesn't see that. He's being shown that in the future by this analogy that it's already taking place in the heavens. Only now you're going to do it. The pain of your companions, your pain is going to pave the way for this bayt to be ma'mur, for this house on earth to be populated with people. وَالسَّقْفِ الْمَرْفُوعِ, and the elevated canopy. وَالْبَحْرِ الْمَسْجُورِ, and the surging ocean, the sky, the ocean. إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ لَوَاقِعٌ. All of this is bearing witness to one reality, and that is the reality of the hereafter, that the punishment of your Rabbi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is going to be executed. مَا لَهُ مِنْ دَافِ, no one can avert it, no one can stop it. يَوْمَ تَمُورُ السَّمَاءُ مَوْرًا, the day the heaven will be in a dreadful commotion. وَتَسِيرُ الْجِبَالُ سَيْرًا, the mountains will be moving around. فَوَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, so destruction to the deniers of truth on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is resonating with the frustration and anger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and giving a voice to it. You're upset, you're angry, so are we. How dare they do that to you? How dare they say all of what they're saying to you? They're going to get what's coming to them. Don't you worry. You're going to be avenged. And that is why Allah has this. Allah, it's not unseen, all the pain that you go through and what people go through. There is going to be a punishment. No one can stop that. These people think they can defer it. Again, see the anger as it comes to a consolation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's deep-seated hurt, how it's responded to by Allah. You're hurt, we're upset. You're frustrated, we're angry. Damnation, damn these deniers. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي خَوْضٍ يَلْعَبُونَ. These are just people playing around in useless discourse. The greatest ability that Allah has provided to any creature, which is that of speech. And what they do, what do they use that for? Useless arguments, useless discussions, impractical discussions. Very high-minded, intellectual-sounding gymnastics. Oh, this logic and that logic and this. All of that for what? No practical outcome. The world is no better. All that jargon, all that complex discourse, what for? No impact on the world. Allah is offended by it. How dare they? Khawd, that's the sort of discourse khawd is. Impractical intellectual gymnastics. No relevance to society. يَوْمَ يُدَعُونَ إِلَى نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ دَعَى. The day they will be violently thrust into the fire. هَذِهِ النَّارُ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ بِهَا تُكَذِبُونَ. This is the fire that you've been denying. أَفَسِحٌ هَذَا. So is this magic now? أَمَنْتُمْ لَا تُبَصِرُونَ. You just don't see. إِسْلَوْهَا burn in it. فَاصْبِرُوا لَا تَصْبِرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Whether you bear it patiently or not, it's all the same for you. It's going to continue to burn. إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. You're being rewarded for what you used to do. Sense the anger, how that resonates with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's pain. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَعِيمٍ. And now the consolation from the other side. The people that are suffering here, Bilal, Yasir, Sumayya, all of them, for these people of taqwa, there will be gardens and pleasure. فَاكِهِنَ بِمَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. Enjoying what their Rabb has given them. وَوَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ. And their Rabb will save them from the punishment of the burning fire. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Eat and drink to your satisfaction for what you used to do. These people are being denied food and water. They're being thrust on the desert. Hungry, thirsty, parched, starving, almost dying. Allah says they will be given. Endlessly. مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَىٰ سُرُرٍ مَصْفُوفَ. Reclining on couches lined up. Imagine Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu reclining on couches. Couches upon couches. With his companions, with his friends. Who? The one that he had a rock on his back in the desert. وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. We will marry them to beautiful women. Again, a lot of them, a lot of the Sahaba at that time suffering the torture, not sure if they're going to make it. Single men, never experienced family, don't know what that's like. Allah says, we will give them companionship. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ لَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ. And those who believed and their followers in iman from their offspring, we will unite them with their descendants. Again, there is a threat, you're not going to be with your family anymore. You're going to be taken away from them, they're going to be taken away from you. Allah says, no, we'll bring them all together. We'll bring them all together. One of the beautiful expressions of paradise is that it's companionship, togetherness. وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We will not deprive them anything of their deeds. كُلُّ امْرِئٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِينٌ. Everyone is responsible for what they earn of their own deeds. Every individual is responsible for what they do for themselves. It's not that anyone will be unjustly elevated to heaven if they haven't earned it. Yeah, but if they get the baseline right, heaven, they just qualify for the bare minimum, they will be elevated to other members of their family who are higher up. وَأَمْدَدْنَاهُمْ بِفَاكِهَةٍ وَلَحْمٍ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُمْ. We will provide them with fruit and meat of their choice. يَتَنَازَعُونَ فِيهَا كَأْسًا لَا لَغْوٌ فِيهَا وَلَا تَأْثِيمٌ. And they will be snatching from each other cups of wine, playing around. And that wine is not going to induce any idle talk nor sinful act. وَيَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ غِلْمَانٌ لَهُمْ. And young boys will be serving them, circulating among them. كَأَنَّهُمْ لُؤْلُؤٌ مَكْنُونَ. As beautiful as protected pearls. وَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ يَتَسَأَلُونَ. They will be turning to one another asking. قَالُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ. And they would say, we were among our families really afraid, fearful. What was your state in dunya? Not in complete calm, tranquility, nirvana, peace, yay. No. We were afraid. We were anxious for our families. We weren't safe. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. So Allah conferred a favor on us. وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. And He saved us from the torment of the scorching wind. إِنَّا كُنَّا مِنْ قَبْلُ نَدْعُوهُ. We used to call on Him before. In that state, in that time, in that phase in Mecca, their dua, their connection with Allah, the desperation with which they turned to Him and then relied upon Him, standing strong. They said, that's what we used to do. State of heart, fear. State of action, dua. And perseverance on that dua, continuing to be reliant. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْبَرُّ الرَّحِيمُ. He is the beneficent, the merciful. فَذَكِّرْ فَمَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِكَاهِنِ وَلَا مَجْنُونَ. Second ruku begins with very direct consolation. So Ya Rasulullah, continue to remind. And you are not, by the ni'mah, by the favor, by the blessing of your Rabb, a kahin, a soothsayer. Wala majnun, you're not mad, you're not crazy, you're not possessed. Yaquluna sha'irun natarabbasu bihi raib al-manun. Do they say you're a sha'ir? Imagine a kid who's bullied and all kinds of horrible things are said to him, and he goes to his mother crying, devastated, shocked. Why would they say these things about me? The mother has her arm around the child and said, did they say this to you? Did they call you this? How could they? يَقُولُونَ شَاعِرٌ نَتَرَبَّصُ بِهِ رَيْبَ الْمَنُونَ. They say he's a poet. And we're just waiting for some misfortune to befall him, for him to just die. He's just, you know, messing with our gods anyway. He's going to be struck. قُلْ تَرَبَّصُوا. So you go and tell them, wait. وَإِنْ فَإِنِّي مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُتَرَبِّسِينَ. I'll be waiting with you. All of these promises of paradise, afterlife, all of that. No. The results are not just going to come there. The results are going to come here too. Wait and see. You will see the outcome of these very abstract attitudes. Sabr, shukr, iman. You wait and see. You see what this tawheed brings. فَإِنِّي مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُتَرَبِّسِينَ. I will wait for you. أَمْ تَأْمُرُهُمْ أَحْلَامُهُمْ بِهَذَا. Do their intellects tell them to say all of this? They're very smart people. أَمْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ طَاغُونَ. Or is it their sins, their rebelliousness that is leading them to it? They think they're very smart. They have justifications for everything. No, their intent is devious. Their motivation is because they can't get out of that rebellious lifestyle. That's why they find it so difficult to accept you. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ تَقَوَّلَ. They say that this man has invented this Quran. Is that what they say? But لا يؤمنون. In fact, they don't believe. The humility, the required to believe in what is facing you, what is confronting you, the ayat, what they're showing you. They don't have that. فَلْيَأْتُوا بِحَدِيثٍ مِثْلِ. So let them produce something like this. إِن كُنْتْ كَانُوا صَادِقِينَ. If they really are true. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were they created from nothing or did they create themselves? أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ. Did they also create the heavens and the earth while they were at it? بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. No, in fact, they do not. They're not convinced. أَمْ عِنْدَهُمْ خَزَائِنُ رَبِّكَ. Or do they have the treasures of their Rabb? They have a problem that this was given to you. So they have control over the treasures of your Rabb. أَمْ هُمُ الْمُسَيْطِرُونَ. They're the ones who control it. أَمْ لَهُمْ سُلَّمٌ يَسْتَمِعُونَ فِيهِ. Or do they have some sort of stairway to heaven? And so they can listen to all of what's going on. فَلْيَأْتِ مُسْتَمِعُهُمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. So then let them bring what they've heard with clear proof. They keep on asking you for proof. Where's their proof? They keep on asking you to give this evidence, that evidence, this, show them this, show them that. Why don't they hold themselves to similar standards? Whatever they believe in, do they have similar level of proof? Bring it. أَمْ لَهُ الْبَنَاتُ وَلَكُمُ الْبُنُونَ. Or has he daughters and you sons? أَمْ تَسْأَلُهُمْ أَجْرًا. Did you ask them for a fee? فَهُمْ مِن مَغْرَمٍ مُثْقَلُونَ. And so they're burdened down by debt. It's so heavy upon them. أَمْ عِنْدَهُمُ الْغَيْبُ فَهُمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. Or do they have the knowledge of the unseen and they write it down? Allah's getting back at them for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As strict, staring at them in the eye bluntly. How dare you say this to my Prophet? How dare you hurt him? أَمْ يُرِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. Or do they have a plan? فَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوهُمُ الْمَكِيدُونَ. But those who have disbelieved in you, they're the ones in the plot. They've dug their own graves. Am lahum ilahun ghayrullah? Do they have any other God besides Allah? Subhanallah amma yushrikun. Allah is glorified above all that they associate with Him. Rasulullah is being reminded, you're being abused, Allah is being abused too. But Allah is exalted above all of that. وَإِنْ يَرَوْا كِسْفًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ السَّاقِطًا. Even if they see a fragment of the sky falling down, يَقُولُ سَحَابٌ مَرْكُمْ. They will say, this is heaped up clouds. Even if they see the adab in front of them, they're so much in denial. Their resistance is so deeply rooted. Such strong defenses. They're even going to deny that. فَذَرْهُمْ حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي فِيهِ يُسْأَقُونَ. So let them be until they encounter their day on which they will be struck insensible. يَوْمَ لَا يُغْنِي أَنْهُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. Then their plans will not avail them at all. وَلَا هُمْ يُنْصَرُونَ. And they are not going to be helped. وَإِنَّ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا عَذَابًا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. And for sure, these oppressive people, these unjust people, there is more punishment aside from that. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But they have no idea. وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. So, Ya Rasulullah, keep holding on to sabr for the hukum of your Rabb, for the justice of your Rabb, for the command of your Rabb. فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. So for sure, we do have you in our eyes. You're visible. We see you. Because it really gets to you. The pain, the hurt, the liberties that these people have, that they're doing whatever it is that they're doing. And you feel alone. You really do feel invisible. That no one's watching. Because no one's doing anything. So this is Allah getting as close as He possibly can. As close as a human can possibly experience Him. And saying, we're watching, we have you in our eyes. You think you're invisible? You're so visible, you're in our eyes. We're carrying you in our eyes. We're holding you in our eyes. We're there. We see every single thing that goes on with you. That's as imminent as it gets. That's as personal as it gets. In the previous surah, in Surah Al-Hijr, we spoke about how Allah says, we know what's going on. In other places, He says, we hear everything that goes on. In here, He says, we see what's going on. This is as close as you can humanly conceive. We seeing, hearing, knowing. Allah uses all of these adjectives, all of these these actions, and says that me, you, that's how close we are. فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. You're not invisible. You're not unseen. You're not alone. وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ حِينَ تَقُمْ. So continue to do the tasbih of your Rabb and continue to praise Him when you rise. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَسَبِّحْهُ وَإِدْبَارَ النَّجُومِ. And glorify Him during a part of the night when the stars fade away. So Allah sees you, Allah hears you, Allah knows everything that's going on with you. You continue to hold on to these conversations, to prayer, to remembering Him. To remind yourself that you are seen, that you are visible, very much visible as it possibly gets. Allah sees everything, but He especially sees you in your pain, in your difficulty. Don't ever think you're alone. Don't ever think He's left your side. He's right there. He's right there, but He's not going to coddle you. He needs you to walk. He needs you to face this. He needs you to get stronger. And what happens when you get stronger? You get closer and closer to Him. So hold on to your prayer. Continue to remind yourself of this experience. Let your prayer be a prayer in which you feel the visibility in Allah's eyes. Experience it. Let that be how your pain is transmuted to something so beautiful, something so incredible. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do that. And would encourage everyone else to do that. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ